I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Ibrahim Kwarten. In the headlines, President John Mahama ends National Thank You Tour with pledge to save nation while executing vision of late President Mills. NPP presidential candidate Nana Akufo-Addo promises expansion of infrastructure to improve health care delivery. Cocoa Board signs $1.5 billion pre-finance facility for 2012-2013 cocoa season. And President Obama pledges to bring to justice perpetrators of attack that killed U.S. ambassador to Libya. Next, here's a summary with Sally Bosman.
President John Mahama yesterday ended his nationwide thank you tour with visits to the Jamestown and Choco beaches. The president reiterated his commitment to serve the nation with due diligence and continue the execution of the Better Ghana agenda started by his predecessor, Professor John Atta Mills. The NPP presidential candidate Nanadu Dankwa-Akufo-Addo has promised an expansion of infrastructure to improve healthcare delivery. Nanadu made these remarks when he addressed students of the Ofanko Western Hills Nursing Training School as part of his restoration of hope tour of the Trobo-Amasaman constituency in the Greater Accra region. The Ghana Cocoa Board has signed a loan of $1.5 billion with 13 banks for the 2012-2013 cocoa season. The chief executive of Cocoa Board, Anthony Fofi, said Cocoa Board will work hard by collaborating with Cote d'Ivoire in the areas of marketing, disease control, and cross-border activities to ensure a sustainable cocoa economy. And President Obama says he'll ensure that justice is carried out as regards the attack that killed U.S. Ambassador to Libya, Christopher Stevens. He, however, said this will not destroy diplomatic relations between Libya and the U.S. President Obama's rival, Mitt Romney, has criticized him over the issue.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
President John Dramani Mahama has ended his national thank you tour with a pledge to serve the nation with due diligence while executing the vision of late President Mills. He rounded off his tour with visits to the Choco and Jamestown beaches and some markets in the Accra metropolis. Our correspondent Pascal Enadadevo reports that President Mahama on the whole received a heroic welcome as there was a near stampede at Nima, which held up the convoy for close to 2 hours.
Greater Accra being the capital of the nation, President John Mahama devoted 2 days to tour the capital to say thank you to each and everyone who played a role directly or indirectly during the funeral of late President Mills. The tour of the 10 regions of Ghana can be said to be successful and responsive considering the huge crowd that welcomes him in every region. In one word, the crowd has been unprecedented. On the last day of his tour of the Greater Accra region, the president first met the people of Choco, then to Jamestown, where he interacted with the fisher folks and boat owners. He promised them modern landing beaches and cold stores. Sod will soon be cut for the construction of the state-of-the-art cold store. He also told the excited crowd that contracts for the landing beaches have already been signed and funding is part of the 3 billion China facility which was sourced by the late president. From here, the president's entourage headed towards the various markets in the metropolis. First was the Sraha market through Makola, Kantamantu, Agbogbloshie, Kaneshi, Malamata, and then the Nima market. Here, there was near stampede as the crowd was simply uncontrollable. People stood on vehicles and buildings just to catch a glimpse of President Mahama, who waved through an open tour vehicle. His message throughout was just thank you and his resolve to ensure peaceful elections.
The last 9 regions in Aben Castle and from France.
We've done the Greater Accra Thank You Tour. We have been to the other 9 regions
and it is now the turn of Greater Accra. We went to Pham Pham, Uweya, Asaima, Heshi, Mumba, and also La. By 9 this morning, we were at Soko and proceeded to Jamestown. We also went to the Straha Market, Nagogloshi, and Kameshi. If we are to talk about the crowd, I would say Kameshi Market tops all. Firstly, I want to thank you all for according me this special welcome to the Kameshi Market. In accordance with tradition, our mission here is to say thank you to everyone. We use 1 day for this purpose in all the other regions, but we are using 2 days for Greater Accra because this is the national capital.
Just as everyone thought the euphoria had died down, the convoy was besieged by another crowd at a gold house. This prompted the president to cut short his tour, which should have ended at the Medina Market.
Pascalina Dadivo reporting. The presidential candidate of the NPP, Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo, has promised to expand health infrastructure across the country to meet growing demand for quality health care delivery, addressing students of the Francois-Western Health Nursing Training School as part of his restoration of hope tour in the Trobu Amasaman constituency in the Greater Accra region. Nana Addo asked for support from the students to make this dream possible. Brighton Trauma has sent this report.
The Trobu Amasaman tour was more exciting as the NPP flag bearer abandoned his car to join that of the press. The move was to acquaint himself with men and women of the media he has been working with. Nana Addo had a formal chat before the first stop at Pukwasi Market. Commercial activities at the market of Ankolari Station, Western Hills Nursing Training College, Asofar Park came to a standstill as the NPP flag bearer interacted with traders and commercial drivers. Intermittent power supply, bad road network, lack of potable water supply are some of the challenges facing the constituency. The parliamentary candidate for the NPP in the constituency, Moses Inim, asked the crowd to vote for the party for these problems to be solved. Nana Addo again reiterated his 3 SHs, revival of the NHRS, create more jobs and fight corruption. He explained that the payment of huge judgment debt to what he described as party cronies will not happen under his leadership. At the Western Hills Nursing Training College, Nana Addo asked the students to study hard to be professionals in their field. He noted that he will continue with the good work of former President Akufo in the health sector by expanding infrastructure to provide ready markets for health students.
It was President Akufo's time that this place was built because of his concern for the health of our nation. When he started, I intend to continue. So I want to appeal to all of you, study hard here, and we're going to create a good condition for you to come and work. You know, we're going to be expanding the health facilities in the country, so we're going to need all of you to help us do that. I'm not making many promises, but what I'm saying, everything I'm saying I'm going to do, including the free secondary school education, don't listen to the voices of doom. It's coming on. We're going to do it.
Nana Addo took his restoration of hope tour to Muse Timber Market and Tantra Hill Market. When Nana Addo stepped out of his car, he was greeted with huge applause. Nana was grateful for the reception accorded him. He promised not to renege on the promises he made.
Brighton Trauma's report. We now go over to the PPP, where the running mate of the presidential candidate of the Progressive People's Party, Madame Ivaloko, says she has what it takes to add to the electoral fortunes of the party. She said politics is about competing ideas and not insults on political opponents. Madame Loko told Radio Ghana on Behind the News that the current dispensation where political opponents trade insults on the airwaves is a misplaced priority.
When you send out a signal and say, oh, we want to empower women, and you talk, and you don't do anything about it, what is the message? It means that you just talk, you don't do. But when you say, we are going to empower women, and then you bring a woman as your running mate, Isn't that the proof of the pudding? So I think that it's very clear that he's determined to keep the PPP's position on having equity and equality between men and women, and that everything should be based on competence, integrity.
Well, you know how politics is practiced here in Ghana, and the intemperate language, abuse and insults that characterize our politics. Do you have the shocks to withstand it? Some say you have opened yourself up to some of these things.
If you tell me one president who was never insulted and is not being insulted, then I'll back down. But so if you are interested in getting up there, and this is at the moment the only part, you take it. But it doesn't mean that when you get there, you're going to let this part stay. It means that when we get there, we are going to stop the abuse, because politics is not about abuse. It's a competition of approach. We are building a skyscraper here, and I have my approach, you have your approach. We sit down, we discuss, and the best approach should win. I think it's a very simple thing for any group to do. But if you have this situation where when I come, instead of telling you what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it, when I'm going to do it, where I'm going to get the resources from, and I come and sit here and I say, oh, look at Kojo there. He's this, is this, is that. Is that all that I have to give? No, that is not politics. That is just insult. That is just a waste of everybody's ears.
On education, Madame Eva Loko was of the view that what the people of Ghana need is quality tuition. She said free education alone cannot guarantee good and quality education. Madame Loko said the PPP will make sure education is tackled from all angles.
Free education has been in Ghana. It's not new, and it's useful. We are not just saying free education. It has to go with quality education, because if people continue to churn out all these weak graduates, and it's not their fault, by the way, because you were trained in a certain way, you come out not knowing certain things. If we don't fix it and we make education free, we are going to have a lot more of the 75,000 who are not well prepared for the world of work and business. So we are not doing free education on an island. We say free education, but free what? Quality education. And it has to be handled in a structured way. We don't want to throw things at Ghanaians for votes. We want to tell Ghanaians there are practical ways of doing things. Some may take long, some you can do immediately. So we'll tackle what can be done immediately, but we'll make sure that that yields the kind of results that will help you to go to the next stage. So it's all strategy. We can do it. It can be done. It could have been done. It's a matter of choice and approach. And we are adopting an approach that will bring sustainable development, not just development in one sector and the other sector is dropping.
Still on Madame Eva Loko, a pollster Benefin says her choice as running mate is a plus for the PPP. He said the former Director General of GBC has a lot to offer the party by way of increasing their votes. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Efson noted that Madame Loko has an array of characteristics that will generate more votes for the PPP in the December elections. She spoke to Agatha Samoa.
She has a lot to offer, but I don't think that the PPP and the attendee selected her because she's a woman. She's capable in her own right. Being a woman is maybe a top-up, because in this country's history, there have been two other instances of women being running mates, and that has not reflected the votes of the tickets. But Ms. Loko, her intellect, her articulation, and issues will attract a lot of people. And more importantly, her ethnic background. On the average, between 4 to 5% Ghanaians vote on ethnic basis. So one, you cannot form a party purely because of ethnicity. But you cannot throw away that fact. And over the years, little work we've been doing indicates that the Ghanaians or have not been part of the presidential ticket in a constitutional area for some time. And you get quite a bit of people voting for that ticket because of the ethnic angle.
For now, what do you think the PPP should do to reposition Ms. Eva Loko well in the 2012 elections?
The PPP should draw on her strength. Clearly, her tango with the powerful workers you know at GBC, it tells you something, that she can stand her ground once she believes that's what is right. And the consequence, she went to the court. They made wild allegations against her, and the Auditor General cleared her. That is something that the PPP should be able to let face the media on issues regarding PPP.
That was Paul Sabenefsen commenting on the choice of Madam Eva Loco as PPP's running mate. Moving away from the PPP, the executives of the National Democratic Party, NDP, have expressed the desire to have the former First Lady, Nana Akunnodou Ajman-Rawlings, contest as the party's presidential candidate in the December elections. Speaking to Newspen and party sympathizers in Wa in the Upper West Region, the Secretary General of the NDP, Dr. Joseph Mambua Roxen, said although Mrs. Rawlings is here to become a card-bearing member of the NDP, the party will make the necessary overtures for her to run as a slack bearer due to her affection for the grassroots and outstanding record of women empowerment. William Osubwaten has sent this report.
The visit of the General Secretary of the NDP, Dr. Joseph Mambua Roxen, forms part of his ongoing tour of the three regions of the North to galvanize support for the newly formed party. The tour has so far been used to propagate the principles and ideology of the NDP. According to Dr. Roxen, the party has received tremendous endorsement from the electorate due to what he referred to as the abysmal performance of the eight-year rule of the MPP and the NDC 3.5 years in office. He said, majority of Ghanaians are disenchanted with the two main political parties and are looking for an alternative party such as the NDP, whose cardinal principle is to eliminate corruption, elitism and nepotism from the country's body politics. Dr. Ruskin said the focal point of the NDP is the youth and the grassroots, as they are the very foundation on which participatory democracy thrives. He expressed concern about graduate unemployment and corruption, which are inimical to democracy. The NDP, he said, has qualified materials to run the affairs of the nation if the party is given the nod in the December elections. The NDP General Secretary predicted a massive defection to hit the camps of the already established political parties. The switch of camp, according to him, will include city MPs and party executives.
A report by William Osubwaten. Moving on, Vice President Pan Kwesi Emesa-Arthur has asked the International Finance Corporation, IFC, to continue to support Ghana's economy, especially the private sector. He said the support of the IFC is critical as the government seeks to consolidate the gains made so far and efforts to open up other sectors of the economy. Vice President Emesa-Arthur made a request when a delegation of the IFC, led by the Ghana Country Director, Mary Jane Moyo, called on him at the State House.
The economy has benefited from IFC intervention, and we hope that IFC will continue to provide support, especially to the private sector of this country, as we seek to deepen the economic reforms and to invest more of the resources that are generated in this country to improve growth rates in the economy and to further stabilize the macro economy. So I'll be waiting to listen to the update that you have for us so that we'll know how to move on with you.
Vice President Pan Kwesi Emesa-Arthur. Madam Moyo said the visit was to enable the group to brief the vice president in his latest role in Ghana's economy.
It's been a while since you came into your new position. We have not really given you an update. So we thought this would be an opportune moment to appraise you of what we've done so far in Ghana.
Ghana Country Director of the International Finance Corporation, Mary Jane Moyo. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. President Mahama ends National Thank You Tour with a pledge to serve the nation with due diligence while executing the vision of late President Mills. NPP presidential candidate Nana Akufo-Addo promises expansion of infrastructure to improve health care delivery. Cocoa Board signed $1.5 billion loan for 2012-2013 cocoa season. And President Obama pledges to bring to justice perpetrators of attack that killed U.S. ambassador to Libya. Please stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
You are welcome back. The Ghana Cocoa Board yesterday signed a $1.5 billion loan for the 2012-2013 cocoa season. The facility, which is a collaboration between Cocoa Board and 13 banks, was oversubscribed following a successful syndication. The chief executive of Cocoa Board, Anthony Fofie, said Cocoa Board is collaborating with Cote d'Ivoire towards a sustainable cocoa economy in the areas of marketing, extension, pest and disease control, as well as the control of cross-border movement of cocoa beans. Asibu Bangu Ikela witnessed the ceremony.
The receivable-backed trade finance for Cocoa Board started in 1993 for $140 million. Since then, the size of the facility has increased every year, resulting in the $1.5 billion facility for the 2012-2013 cocoa season. The Minister of Finance and Economic Planning, Dr. Kobina Dufour, noted that the facility is not backed by government, but the produce. He congratulated the hard-working cocoa farmers on always ensuring that the produce is available for sale to back the loan. Dr. Dufour assured investors of the favorable medium-term growth prospects of the Ghanaian economy. He was happy both domestic and foreign investors have demonstrated a strong confidence in the economy. An official of the 13 banks, the Standard Chartered Bank, Kweku Bedu Ado, said in spite of the global challenges, the banks were able to come out with a facility.
In Ghana, the real economy has also suffered from enormous setbacks, leading to a sharp depreciation of the local currency. Some investors have a positive inflation trend over the last 3 to 4 months, among others. Against this rather redoubtable development, it is very gratifying to observe that this facility to Ghana Cocoa Board has once more lived up to expectations by attracting commitments well beyond the $1.5 million originally sought. In the process, attracting 31 banks from 17 countries.
Another official of the Ghana International Bank, Joe Mensah, who proposed a toast to Cocoa Board, said the bank has developed an electronic monitoring system which will ensure timely repayment of the facility. The CEO of Cocoa Board, Anthony Fofie, said Cocoa Board has completed repaying the 2011-2012 syndicated loan, irrespective of the challenges posed by low prices of cocoa beans observed during the greater part of the season. He acknowledged the support of government and commended the lending banks for the construction of a $67,500 six-classroom block at Ofwansi in the Agona West District of the Central Region.
Asibi Bangui Keller's report. The chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, Albert Kandapa, has ruled that appearance of businessman Alfred Agbeshi Woyomi before the committee in connection with the payment of 51 million Ghana cedis judgment debt will not prejudice the case in court. Mr. Kandapa's ruling follows reservations Mr. Woyomi's lawyers raised as he appeared before the committee for the first time. The lawyer, Osafo Buabin, told the Public Accounts Committee that since the matter was in court, discussing it will be sub judice. That after over an hour of debate between the members of the Public Accounts Committee, the chairman decided to continue the hearing on a date yet to be set.
Mr. Chairman, we are of the view that the issues or matters that are going to be deliberated upon are the same issues that are pending before one, the criminal court, that's the High Court Criminal Division. There's one pending before the Civil Division, another leg of the matter in the Court of Appeal, and finally in the Supreme Court. And therefore, the issues are sub judice. So once they are sub judice, we would not be willing to take part in the deliberations. The second point, which is fundamental, is that there is evidence that at a point in time, the cabinet of the previous government truncated the bid process involving Mr. Woyomi. Whether it was lawful or otherwise, we are yet to know. Of course, it's yet to be decided by the court. But Mr. Chairman happens to be a member of that cabinet. Mr. Hackman Usajiman also happens to be a member of that cabinet. And therefore, we say that there is a real likelihood of bias on the part of both Mr. Chairman and Mr. Hackman Owusu-Ajiman.
The Attorney General's Department also refused to comment on the issue, citing contempt of court as his reason. The Attorney General was represented by the Deputy Attorney General, Anthony Jambibi. Members of the committee were divided over whether to continue hearing the matter or halt it, as it is before a court. While the majority cited the Ghana at 50 hearing as a precedent, the minority said hearing the case at the Public Accounts Committee will not affect it in any way. But Chairman of the committee, Albert Kandapa, maintained that the work of the committee is a constitutional obligation under Article 187 of the Constitution. Therefore, it cannot be restricted by any subsidiary legislation. He ruled that Mr. Where you may appear before the committee to answer questions on a date yet to be set. The lawyer of businessman Alfred Agbeshi-Woyomi, Kwame Teria, has expressed disappointment over the turn of events at the sitting of the Public Accounts Committee of Parliament yesterday. He told Radio Ghana that what transpired at the sitting between the minority and majority members amounted to abuse of power and disgrace to the country's democracy. The Supreme Court will on Wednesday, the 19th of this month, give its ruling on a motion for an interlocutory injunction to prevent Parliament from considering the Constitutional Instrument on the Representation of the People, CI-78. The application seeks to have Parliament restrained until the final determination of a substantive suit against the EC on the creation of the 45 new constituencies. The Supreme Court yesterday heard arguments from lawyers of the parties to the suit, which include Attorney General, Electoral Commission, and those of the plaintiff, Ransford France. A Muslim scholar, Dr. Anas Issa Ebise, has criticized the frequent resort to violence by some Muslims anytime an issue that seeks to defame the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, is put out in the public domain. Reacting to a recent incident where the U.S. ambassador to Libya was killed by some Muslims because of a film by an American that sought to defame Prophet Muhammad, Dr. Ebise described the act as unacceptable.
I think there are quite a number of issues here. But the first thing to say is that it is wrong, unacceptable, and un-Islamic for anybody to kill another person, you know, who has not killed anybody. The only instance in Islam that killing is allowed is that a murderer should be killed. And even that is not done individually or by mob action. It is only done when a constituted authority, legal authority, a court, has ruled that such a person is a murderer and should be killed. Apart from that, there is no instance in which Islam allows anybody to kill anybody. That's the first thing. So for somebody to say that somebody has insulted the Holy Prophet and he has wounded my emotions, so I have killed him, is absolutely un-Islamic and should be condemned, you know, in the worst way. So even God sometimes is maligned. People insult God, you know, the idolaters insult God. But we don't take up arms to go and kill those who have insulted God. You know, it's true that it is wrong for these people to malign the Holy Prophet. But two wrongs do not make a right.
Right, Doc, before I allow you to continue, where is this seeming passion for annihilation coming from, where some Muslims would quickly resort to violence anytime the Holy Prophet of Islam is vilified? Let's look at Sweden and then recently Libya, where the perpetrators of this violence also cite the Quran stoutly to defend their actions.
People have wrong notions and wrong interpretations of certain concepts, and people say erroneously that jihad means anyone who rises against Islam. You see, that is not jihad. People malign the Holy Prophet because they are ignorant. The appropriate jihad to do in this instance, as the Quran itself says, is that you struggle to educate them, and that's the proper thing to do. If we Muslims set the right example, you know, and we are not hooligans, we are not violent, and we educate the people, they will stop maligning us. So their maligning the Holy Prophet is only evidence of their ignorance, and we have to, you know, see how we can educate the world.
Why is it that any time any issue that's got to do with violence crops up, Muslims are always the first point of call?
It's partly because Muslims sometimes have been, you know, unduly violent. And it's also partly because the media throwing dust in the eyes of the masses. Maybe because they, the media themselves, are ignorant and their notions of religion are twisted.
Muslim scholar Dr. Anas Issa Adise. President Barack Obama has pledged to bring to justice those who carried out the attack that killed the U.S. ambassador to Libya, Christopher Stevens. President Obama, who described the attack as complex, said the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi will not harm ties between the U.S. and the new Libyan government. This development has sparked a political row in the U.S., with rival Mitt Romney criticizing President Obama before the president hit back. The ambassador died after gunmen stormed the consulate amid protests over an anti-Islamic film. Three other Americans were also killed. Meanwhile, protesters in Egypt have clashed with security forces after crowds returned to the U.S. Embassy in Cairo for a second evening of demonstration against a film that, from their perspective, mocks Prophet Muhammad. Riot police fired tear gas at protesters, some of whom were seen carrying petrol bombs. Details about the origin of the film are not known, but reports say a man known as Sam Basile is behind the production. To end the news, the main points again. President John Mahama has officially ended his nationwide thank you tour with a pledge to serve the nation and continue with the Better Ghana agenda. The NPP presidential candidate Nana Akufo-Addo has promised the expansion of infrastructure to improve health care delivery across the country. He gave the assurance when he addressed students of the Franco Western Hills Nursing Training School as part of his Restoration of Hope tour in the Greater Accra region. The Ghana Cocoa Board have signed a loan of $1.5 billion for the 2012-2013 cocoa season, and the U.S. President Barack Obama says he will ensure that perpetrators who murdered the U.S. ambassador to Libya are brought to book. The news was presented by Ibrahim Kwarteng in Accra.